They all a short psalm, 4 verses long, but then we will also turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. And read a brief portion of scripture from there as well. So Psalm 123 and Hebrews chapter 12. Beloved, the grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God endures forever. This is the word of God, the only rule of your faith and practice. To you I lift up my eyes, O you who are enthroned in the heavens. Behold, as the eyes of servants look to the hand of their master, as the eyes of a maidservant to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God till he has mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us, O Lord, have mercy upon us, for we have had more than enough of contempt. Our soul has had more than enough of the scorn of those who are at ease and of the contempt of the proud. And now Hebrews chapter 12, beginning in verse 1 down through verse 2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Let's pray together. Father, we are again filled with expectation and eagerness as we sit to hear your word, sit at the feet of Jesus Christ, who is our prophet and priest and king, the one who mediates life to us, the one who gives us your word, the one who is himself the living word. May we see him, may we know him, may our hearts be lifted up, may we be encouraged and strengthened, as we draw near to you now in your word. In Jesus' name, amen. I've indicated in previous times that the Psalms are not haphazardly put together. They're not chronologically arranged. That is, Psalm 1 isn't the oldest psalm, and Psalm 150 isn't the newest psalm, but that they are not chronologically arranged, but they are arranged for a particular reason and purpose. And we have read a psalm, Psalm 123, that is found within a mini collection inside the larger book of Psalms. Psalms 120 through 134 all have this same heading as the beginning, a psalm of ascent. They all start with the same Hebrew words there, a psalm of ascent. And each of the psalms is grouped because they are seen as psalms which are to be thought of or sung or recited or memorized during a trip going somewhere. And some have wondered, well, what is the particular reference that the Psalms have, these Psalms of Ascent? Some of the older traditions have that these are the Psalms that the Levites would sing as they would ascend the temple of God, the stairway of God, before they would go into God's presence to serve. They would ascend the steps of the temple. Some have said, no, these are the Psalms that the Israelites would sing during the feast times, as they would leave their homes and as they would pilgrimage through the promised land to the city of Jerusalem. And if you know anything about the geography of Jerusalem, Jerusalem is on a hill. And so wherever you come from, to actually come into the land, to actually enter into the city, you would have to ascend into Jerusalem. And there were pilgrims who would come, and their eyes would be lifted up, and they would sing these songs in expectation, in hope. There are some who have said, well, we have to go even further and beyond that to the way in which Israel is to return from exile. That these psalms are psalms which are fitting those who have left Babylon, or those who are coming up from Egypt, or from the other places, the north, the south, and the east and the west, where God is gathering his people, that these are the psalms that would be sung and recited and meditated on as they traveled from their exile down or back into the promised land. Again, in hope, in expectation, crying out to God. Now, whatever the historical circumstances might be, in terms of the Psalter, it fits very well with their return from exile. Remember, the Psalter is telling a story. That it is moving from the promise of the kingdom, the proclamation that God will establish his king in Zion. And it moves from there to the troubles of that king. Then it moves into the exile and to the seeming destruction of that monarchy. And then the what is life like in exile? And then you turn the corner as Israel comes back into exile. Well, these psalms fit into Israel's return to exile. So I think we can say something like this, that the same way that Israel would go to the feasts, or even the same way that the Levites would ascend the stairs into the temple, is the way in which their hearts should be in any pilgrimage, whether they are coming back from exile or even on other occasions. That the way in which they journey and pilgrimage towards God, towards his presence, towards his holy hill, is that they are to be eager, expectant, and hopeful. A mixture of joy and humility as they travel. And that's what we find in Psalm 123, is that mixture of joy, of humility, of expectation, of hope, even in the midst of distressing pilgrimage. And so the psalm begins, "To you I lift up my eyes, O you who are enthroned in the heavens." The image is this, that as the psalmist is traveling, as it were, towards Jerusalem, he is not looking down at every step. He's not counting his steps. He's not looking around at the peril, possibly, or the trees, or the view. That his eyes are fixed forward. That he has lifted up his eyes towards Jerusalem. That he has lifted up his eyes towards the Lord who is enthroned in the heavens. This is the way in which pilgrims ought to look. This is their posture. Their posture is not that they are fixed on the things below, but that they look up. His gaze is up. His gaze is even beyond the path itself, looking to the Lord in heaven. And so the first thing we can say about this posture is by way of contrast, that pilgrims are those who live in a contrast between God in heaven and them here in this world. They are looking up, after all. Eyes have to be lifted up to see God. To see God who is exalted. Notice how the psalmist describes God. It describes him as enthroned in the heavens. The exact place that the psalmist is not, you see. His eyes are lifted up because he is not up yet. He is not there. His eyes are lifted up because he is here. He is traveling. He is on a pilgrimage. That is the first stark contrast that we have here in the psalm. That God is exalted. And that the psalmist is, in that sense, humbled here in this world. And so he must lift up his eyes. He must lift up his countenance to the Lord. Another contrast is that God is enthroned in heaven. This has to do with his stability, right? The image communicates his constancy, God is not traveling. See, he is seated. He is enthroned. He is the sovereign over all. Whereas the psalmist is traveling. And this communicates his instability. This communicates his inconstancy. That he is on the move, but that God is fixed, is firm on the horizon. So you have these contrasting images here, above and below, stability and power, and then the weakness of the pilgrim himself. The psalmist looks and focuses his eyes upon the Lord who is exalted, the Lord who remains constant. Now the statement also indicates that there are other places that the psalmist could look. He could look around. He could gaze at other things. He could look back. He could turn from side to side. He could look down. Psalm 101, verse 3, where the psalmist confesses that not everything is worth looking at. He says, I will not set before my eyes anything that is worthless. Psalm 123 is, there's a deliberate, the first verse, to you I will lift up my eyes. There is a deliberate nature of that, is that he could look all over the place. He could turn around and go the opposite direction. But there is that fixture in his heart that he will look up, that he will keep his eyes on the Lord, not anywhere else. The psalmist realizes that there are dangerous, worthless things that would vie for his attention, for his focus. There are other things that clamor for him to set his eyes upon. But this psalm says, to you I will lift up my eyes. Psalm 123 is a declaration that his eyes are set in one place. Not on the wicked, not on the troubles that might surround him, not on the pitfalls. His eyes are lifted to the Lord. Now it's one thing to sort of say, his eyes are lifted up to the Lord. But what does that mean? What does it mean that his eyes are lifted up? What does the image communicate? Well, we learn what the image communicates in verse 2. Not only does it sort of, by its very nature, indicate attention and focus, maybe even affection and devotion, but verse 2 helps us to understand, behold, as the eyes of a servant looks to the hand of their master, as the eyes of a maidservant to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God until he has mercy upon us. This is the second posture of the pilgrim. Not only does he recognize his distance from God in the above and below, but the second posture is one of neediness, one of weakness. You see, what he's looking for from God is for God to stretch out his hand, as it were, for God to supply the things that he needs. Think about Israel's very first pilgrimage, when God brought them out of Egypt and was taking them into the promised land. One of the things that characterized them in that trip was the fact that they had nothing. They didn't have places to plant crops, to raise livestock, or to do all those. They didn't have water in a lot of places. Their first pilgrimage was a lesson that everything that they need comes from God. That's part of what pilgrimages do in terms of the biblical presentation of them, is they highlight our weakness and neediness before God. Like a servant looking to the hand of the master, or the maidservant to the hand of her mistress, so we look to the hand of God. There is also not only sort of a confession of neediness, but of dependency. Those two things go together. If it is a confession of our neediness, then it is a confession that we depend on anything that God would give to us, anything that he would supply for us. Psalm 141, verse 8 says this, but my eyes are toward you, O God, my Lord. In you I seek refuge. Leave me not defenseless. To fix one's eyes upon the Lord is to seek refuge and help and aid in God. Pilgrimage is a time in which you are traveling without a home, and God is a refuge for you. Pilgrimage is a time also of humility. Again, we've already indicated that God is exalted. Notice the language used in verse 2, that we are like servants of His, looking to Him, ready and eager, not only to receive from Him, but also to follow Him, to obey Him. So you have neediness and humility and dependency, but you have hope. Psalm 121, the second psalm of ascent, says this: I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? Psalm 123 is the answer to that question. I lift up my eyes to the Lord. Psalm 119, my eyes long for your salvation, for the fulfillment of your righteous promises. Psalm 119, verse 123. To look to the Lord is to look in expectation. It is to look in hope. To fix one's gaze upon the Lord is to know that He won't turn away from you, but it is to look to Him in expectation that He will fulfill His promises, that He will give what is lacking and what is necessary. When we lift our eyes to the Lord, we do so in hope and expectation. The image here is not sheepishness. That's not when it says we fix our eyes on the Lord, or I lift up my eyes to the Lord. The image here isn't like he's sort of glancing at God, hoping God doesn't really notice him. There are certain things we look at that way. That's not the image here. The image here is to fix one's gaze in hope, in expectation, in longing, knowing that only God can help in our pilgrimage and aid in our deep need. This expectation and hope is occasioned by verse 3. You see, the psalmist, as he fixes his eyes upon the Lord, you can feel sort of the effort that it is taking him. That there are other distractions, there are other things that could clamor for his attention, but he, in his deep neediness and in his humility, is focused. There is an effort, an intention by the psalmist to look up towards heaven because of verse 3. We have had more than enough of contempt. Our soul has had more than enough of the scorn of those who look at us and are at ease, or the contempt of the proud, verses 3 and 4. He is fixing his eyes upon the Lord because the pilgrimage is not easy. The pilgrimage towards the Lord is filled with contempt. Do you know what contempt means? Contempt is a horrible word. Contempt means disdain for someone, looking down at someone, regarding someone as worthless, someone that you could just sweep aside because they are not worth the breath that it would take to say something to them, not worthy of your attention, not worthy of your time. That is contempt. But the pilgrim here feels like he is not worthy of people who are watching him, or maybe people who are on the path from time to time with him, that he has suffered contempt. And then scorn. Scorn is a little bit more of the activity that someone might do, mocking you, insulting you. So when they actually give you the time of the day, this is what actually comes out of their mouths. You are being made fun of, in being insulted and mocked. Or worse, abused. And who is it that perpetrates these things, that the pilgrims are seeking some strength from God? It is those who are at ease and those who are proud. And this is so often the case in the Psalms, that you have, on the one hand, you've got God's people who are struggling
and fighting to make it. They're trying to obey God. They're trying to look to the Lord. They're trying to hope in Him and to keep His word. And it's hard. It's difficult.
And everyone else around them just seems to be having a great time. Oh, that they're at ease. That they have no cares, no worries at all. The only thing that they seem to be caring about is kicking the teeth of those who are trying to follow the Lord. So often you have, even at points in the psalmist, they begin to ask the question, are we following you for no reason? Wouldn't it be a lot easier if we just did what they did? Because then we could live a normal, easy life. Right, read Psalm 73 as a good example of that. To lift one's eyes to the Lord as a pilgrim is to look to Him for a resolution to verses 3 and 4. Notice what the cry of the psalm is. Three times the people cry, have mercy on us, have mercy upon us, have mercy upon us. We will look to you until you have mercy upon us. We will look to you until you do all that you have promised. Until you rescue us, you sustain us, until you have mercy on us. Have you ever noticed the simplicity of some of the prayers in the Bible? Sometimes we think that all prayers in the Bible are in perfect King James English. Blessed Lord, eternal God and heavenly Father, we beseech thee and thy kindness and beneficence. Dot, 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 dot. And certainly you do have very sobering, exalted, reverent forms of prayer which are theologically rich. This is not one of them. This is a prayer when God's people just can't take it any longer. When they can't handle it anymore. And the only thing they can do is, we can't take it anymore. Have mercy upon us. Help us. Rescue us. We lift our eyes until you help us. Well, I'm not saying this is meaningless or that this is an irrational prayer. And certainly it's not devoid of the richness of God and His character. In fact, I would argue that this is a plea for God's character. That this is a plea for God's people to make of God because they know who God is. God is the great King, he confesses in verse 1. That he is sovereign, that he is mysterious, that he is almighty, that he sees all, that he knows all. That's verse 1. If that's true, then that means he sees the insults and the slander and the scorn and the contempt that his people are going through. He sees it. He knows it. That's why the pilgrims cry to him. It is a plea for mercy because we know God's character. Right? These kinds of pleas, we shouldn't look at these like we're twisting God's arm to do something he won't do otherwise. That's not what prayer is. It's certainly not what Psalm 23 is about. God has revealed himself to be the God of mercy. He has revealed himself. His name is the Lord, merciful and compassionate, gracious and abounding in steadfast love. Right? This is who he has revealed himself to be. The psalmist is pleading for that. The pilgrims cry out to the sovereign Lord, who is not only mighty and powerful, but is merciful and delights to show his mercy. Not because we deserve it, not because we are better than others, but because God is merciful. Psalm 123 is a plea for God's character. For God to act in accordance with who he said he is. The same God who is sovereign is the God who now will be moved to act and to save and to deliver. Psalm 26:3, for your steadfast love is before my eyes, and I walk in your faithfulness. To fix your eyes on the Lord is to fix your eyes on His steadfast love and faithfulness. It is to know God's character and to hope in that character. Have mercy just as you have promised. Regard us, your servants. Now, as we reflect and meditate on this psalm, there is something about the psalm that ministers directly to us. And it's the intention of God as we receive the psalm, as we read the psalm, as we reflect on the psalm. Even in its own context and the way in which God is ministering to Israel and the way in which God reveals himself to Israel. The Lord bears witness directly, or the psalm bears witness directly to us regarding God's character, what it means to be a pilgrim, and where our eyes ought to be fixed. The fact that we are pilgrims is established, not simply by this psalm, but by the reality of the life that we have received in Jesus Christ, that we have been redeemed out of sin and out of death, but we are not yet all the way home in the fullness of God's promise. That we have the already of all that God has done, but there is still a not yet of the things that are coming. That this is not our home, that there is a city, a country, a new heavens and a new earth which awaits the people of God. And right now we have the beginning, the foretaste of that. That period between what God has done and what God is going to do in the scriptures is in pilgrimage. It is the time in which God's people are not at home, but they are traveling towards the place that God has prepared for them. In Hebrews 12, tells us where we fix our eyes in that pilgrimage. It's the same place that Psalm 123 says to fix your eyes on the Lord. Hebrews 12 says, fix your eyes on Jesus. Fix your eyes on Jesus. And it even uses the language of a race and a journey. That there are things that could entangle you and trip you up. But the intention is not to focus on those things, but to focus upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And why would you focus upon Him? Because He is your Redeemer. He is your Savior. He is the one who took your sin. Think about your sin in light of Psalm 123. All of our fears, the times in which we scorned Him, the times in which we showed contempt towards Him and towards other people, all the times in which we have dishonored Him, though He is the King exalted in the heavens, though He is the ruler over all things, how many times do we not look to Him? Do we not give thanks to Him? Do we not honor Him and respect Him as all of His creatures should? When our eyes are fixed upon other things, the things of this world, sinful things, right? Jesus takes all of that, all of our sin, all of our wretchedness, all of our filth, and its shame and its guilt, and He takes it to the cross. And He pays the penalty for our sins, redeeming us out of sin and death. But the one who went to the cross is the one who has been raised from the dead. And where does Hebrews 12:2 say He is? Exalted at God's right hand. Ascended into the heavens. That means you have to look up. You have to look up. We lift up our eyes to Jesus, the one who came into this world, died for us, the one who was in a grave, but the one who has been raised and has ascended into heaven. We lift up our eyes to Jesus Christ in the same way as the psalmist did to the Lord, in hope, in trust, in humility, in expectation, with a deep recognition of our neediness, brokenness, and weariness. And the cry is the same. We will wait. We will hope. We will look to you until you have mercy on us. And sometimes we say this when we have had enough. Sometimes we say this when we are at the absolute end of our rope, where we just simply cannot take it anymore. We speak out of pain. We speak out of confusion. We speak out of frustration. I can't take it anymore. Have mercy upon us. But not always. This cry is not always the cry of complete and total exasperation like it is in Psalm 123. Sometimes the cry is simply the expectation of the better that is coming. To cry out to the Lord Jesus, have mercy upon us, is not simply a statement, save me for the first time. It is a statement for us to see the fullness of the mercy that Christ has secured for us. To see the fullness of the blessings that are ours in Jesus. A time in which scorn and trouble and pilgrimage will be no more. And we will be home and rest at peace in Christ's presence. You see, that's the goal here. Is that the pilgrimage would end. And that we would stand face to face, in a sense, eye to eye with our God. But until then, we look up. Until then, out of our own humility, out of our own deep need for everything that he would give to us, we lift our eyes to the Lord who is enthroned in the heavens. Like servants to a master, he sees us, he knows us, he knows what we have to go through, what he is putting us through. But he gives and he blesses even already. He shows mercy now, and he will show the fullness of his mercy to come. We lift up our eyes to the Lord. We lift up our eyes until he has mercy on us. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, you know even better than we do how our eyes dart this way and dart that way. Look at this and look at that, how our affections are set on things below rather than on the things that are above. We pray that you would fortify our hearts. We thank you for your word and the encouragement that it brings. That you are both the sovereign Lord and the one who shows mercy. That you are both the one who has power and might and yet has compassion and love. And we look unto you. We trust in your character and goodness. And we fix our eyes. We lift them up upon Jesus Christ, our Savior, the one who has lived and died and been raised again for us, our Savior and our Redeemer. Strengthen us, we pray. Meet our deep needs with your grace and power. Help us to stand against the things that we must face here, not in violence or anger or hatred, but rather in love. As peacemakers, in compassion, Father, that we might bear witness to you and to the gospel. Strengthen us, we pray, as we look to you in Jesus' name. Amen.